Here's key number seven. Number seven is anticipate problems. Anticipate them. Be ready for them in advance. Does that mean you should walk around looking for problems, expecting them? No. You want to expect the best and plan for the worst. If there's anything I've learned being in business, and business is a great microcosm for life because it magnifies things, you get feedback a lot quicker. And fortunately, I've learned how to really succeed in there. But what I've really learned is I can't just solve problems. If we're really going to be effective, got to anticipate them. Now, not being negative, not being wrong, just saying, what could possibly be screwed up here? What could probably get messed up? If something was going to get screwed up, what would most likely go out, and how can we deal in advance so it never even has to happen? See, what you're really doing is you're anticipating what a problem is for a few moments and then coming up with a bunch of solutions before it happens. See, then you can have a lot less problems. Are you going to rid yourself of them completely? Of course not. But you can limit the number of them and hopefully get to the point where you get a better quality of problem, which is one of our goals, to increase the quality of the problems, not to get rid of them, so that we're constantly expanding, so that we can deal with almost anything that used to drive us nuts. Now it's easy to do. Now we've got the muscle to handle that easily. We just want to keep expanding. The bottom line is I've got a strategy that's worked really well in my business. And if we had years ago, I wouldn't have had this $190,000 learning experience. And that is this. We had back then challenges, things that we knew could come up, and we had a plan to deal with them. But what we didn't have was several plans. What do I mean by this? Well, in my companies, we have a set of what we call organizing principles. What they are strategies that help us to eliminate most of the problems we used to have to deal with. In fact, having these strategies today have turned us around. It took us from the things that happened, or we were almost bankrupt, into the largest personal development firm of its type in the United States today. We went from being in the hole to a company that do almost $50 million in sales. That kind of turnaround happens because you have strategies that make sense. And I'll tell you the critical strategy, and it's the same as number seven here. We look at in advance, what are some of the challenges that could possibly come up? Let's be positive, but let's also be real. And as we do that, we say, okay, what's our plan for handling it if it comes up? We don't stop there, though. We say, if that plan doesn't work, what's our backup plan to it? And then we say, if that backup plan didn't work, what would be our third backup plan? Because you know something? I don't care how positive you and I are going to be. There are going to be times when your plans, your best laid plans, aren't going to work. So you got to have a backup plan. And there are going to be times when that falls through also. If you got three backup plans, you're on track. And I'll tell you, I learned this from a very, very successful businessman. And his attitude was, listen, you need at least three check and balance systems. He's in our country, we're supposed to have three, and it doesn't seem to be quite enough. If you could get four, that'd be even better. So I think this is a critical strategy for handling problems. Anticipate them in advance and have two or three backup plans, solutions, so that if one fails, there's one right behind it to step in and solve things for you. Again, if you do this, you're going to find you're going to eliminate most of the problems that you've been dealing with up until now. Here's key number eight. And this may be the most important key, well, at least one of them. You must develop certainty. Now, let me repeat that. You must develop certainty that you can handle almost any problem, no matter what happens. Now, remember that word certainty. It's the thing that so many human beings are seeking. See, people want to feel certain that they can deal with what comes up in their life. In fact, in order to remain feeling certain, what many people do is they stay in a situation that they hate. For example, I often see people in a relationship, and they really aren't happy together. They aren't working on even making their relationship better. They dislike each other. They're making zero progress, but they'll stay in a relationship 10, 15, 20 years. Why would they do that? And the answer I found is that when you talk to these people, they say, well, I really should leave the relationship, but I guess I think about what if I leave this relationship and then I never start another one? I never meet anybody else. Yeah, I'm unhappy, but at least I've got a relationship. At least I come home and I feel certain this person is here. Even if we fight, at least they're here. See, they'd rather deal with painful certainty than the ultimate pain of uncertainty. Because people are afraid when they're not sure what's going to happen, it could be worse than it is, and they hang on to what they've got. It doesn't make any sense, but it's the way human beings very often operate. So how do we feel certain? Well, a lot of us try and get ourselves to feel certain by working really, really hard. But is it possible to work really, really hard and then still have a problem come up and change things overnight? Is it possible, for example, to work your whole life, build a beautiful home for yourself and your family, and then one day have an earthquake, take it away? If you doubt it, ask anybody in San Francisco. You know what's interesting? I think it's fascinating to look at how different people respond to a catastrophe like that. Some people use it in a way that totally disempowers themselves. Others use it as a way that makes their whole life and relationship and family closer.